Messiah's Branch Broadcast, a one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of the Messiah's Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Greetings, saints, and welcome to the Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour. We are broadcasting live from the Flint Hills of Kansas, and we're on the American Voice Radio Network. Today's date is July 21st, 2016. In turmoil, most just don't realize it, but we are in that time of the end, and that's the time before Messiah's glorious return. So it's time to get out of sin, the world, and look to the holy city. Look to the one who suffered and died for you. Hear the sound of the shofar. Heed the warning. Get right now before it's too late. Please make this choice tonight. If you need help after this program, call me. I'll pray for you or with you. If you get the machine, please leave your name, your number, prayer request, or message. You can also reach me by email. You can get that from our blog spot. I'll tell you that address in a minute. You can send me an email with your prayer request or your phone number. I can call you back, or we can take your prayer request to the mission church, print it out, anoint it with oil, send it back to you if you give us an address. You can also do that to a letter by mail or a letter by mail, as long as your address is included, and we'll send it back to you. We will not use that address for any kind of solicitation for money or send you anything else but your prayer request that's been prayed over, and send it back to you, period. Okay, the phone number, of course, 620-878-4682, 878-4682. In an emergency, my cell phone number is 316-619-4886. You can always find updates with the breaking news, our ministry, radio program archives, and our mailing address, which is at our blog, along with our email address, which is simply prophecyhour.com. Remember, folks, we are a national satellite radio program, which is simulcast live on the net internationally, podcast later, but please pray about supporting airtime. Our program archives, again, can be found at prophecyhour.com. That's prophecyhour.com. They're really smartphone friendly, so go over there and have a look. On another note, I want to thank our listener base that is worldwide, like places like, I can't pronounce, like Malmo, Sweden, Dublin, Ireland. Got that one. Johannesburg, South Africa. Soweto, South Africa. ACCRA, Guyana, that's accurate, I guess. Paris, France. Valencia, Spain. Amsterdam. The Netherlands. St. Louis, Missouri. Detroit, Michigan. Dallas, Texas. Fort Wayne, Indiana. Stockholm, California. Buffalo, New York. Tulsa, Oklahoma. Newark, New Jersey. New York, New York. As well as Wichita, Kansas, which remains the largest group of listeners to our radio programs, at least when they come off being live and go to podcast later tonight, which will happen about an hour after this program is completed. Now, Perm will bring on tonight's guest, and it's going to be a really good program. Somebody you really want to hear from. Dear Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name I pray, Father, I just ask that you give this nation another chance to heal it so Christians might have a place to be safe during these terrible times that's coming. And so we might also be able to bless Israel. Father, I pray that radio tonight goes according to your will and not mine. And please give everyone out there ears and wish to hear the truth. So please, Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name, bless this program tonight. Amen and amen. Why is this country going so wrong? I mean, it can be said that by the numbers, the Christians in this nation are more than anyone anywhere else. So why are we falling out of our Father's blessing? Right now, many Western Christians are starting to relook at the importance of the Old Testament, the Tanakh, or as the Jews refer to it simply as the Jewish Bible. Should we keep things in the Old Testament? Is any of it for Christians, or was it all done away with, like so many of the Christian churches you walk in. It's a New Testament church. This is all you need, the New Testament. Things like the Ten Commandments and clean and unclean. Was eating clean and unclean just for the Jewish people? Or was it for all of it? Is it for all of us? Today we have back on with us somebody that can really answer these questions without a doubt. He is a gentleman, Richard Reeves. He's the president of Wyatt Archaeology Research, and he also has a ministry called Too Long in the Sun. Now, why he has a couple of books out after Too Long in the Sun, it's a yellow book, and I just love that book. Anyway, Richard believes that archaeological research is much needed to confirm what the Bible says, and he has confirmed much in his studies and all the places that he's went to visit and digs and so on and so forth. He's a friend of Ron Watts, and he was made the head of Ron Watts' ministry war after Ron's death. Just some of the things that has been explored or that they've looked for the Ark of the Covenant, Noah's Ark, and most of us have heard about the real Mount Sinai now and the Red Sea crossing. Without a doubt, that's what they are. But few give credit to Ron Wyatt for being the first, or, you know, war, which is society. Anyway, we'll get Richard to talk about it. Anyway, so tonight we speak with a man who wears many hats, so to speak, including being dad and husband. His son, David, is much like his father, having his own ministry, and it's simply called David Reed Ministries. And you ought to look it up, because the heavens glorify God. It's just a wonderful ministry that he has, and it's very successful. So let's welcome now the gentleman, Richard Reeves. Thanks for being on with me, Richard.
Well, thank you for the privilege of being on. I really thank you for that.
Well, it's always a pleasure to have you on, and you're one person that I know is accurate in what you say, and I don't have to worry about, I got to go look it up and double check or anything, because you do the research. What got you to be able to, you confirm everything. What put that in you to do that?
Well, I believe that we're responsible for what we teach people, and not only that, but what we lead people to believe, you know. So the Bible says, prove all things, hold fast that which is good. And so I think before we go to talking about things, we better check it out and make sure we know what we're talking about. And the more research I do, I find that there's a lot of people that kind of overlook that particular scripture. They kind of want to make a good story out of things instead of just telling the facts about it. And of course, you know, I do commentaries every week, and I end up with, you know, I tell them I'm just the facts, you know. And so I believe it's important that we do that, because we will be held responsible for what we lead people to believe.
Amen. Those just the facts, those are like just like 2 minutes long, I believe. But those just the facts is just dynamite information. And I can't believe how you put so much in such a short thing, and it's absolutely true. But you do those, you put those out through WorldNet Daily and through your website, don't you?
Well, that's right. They're on WorldNet Daily each week under commentaries, you know, under WorldNet Daily TV. And they come out, I think, on Tuesdays every week. So a new one every Tuesday. And, you know, my website is toolong, toolong.com. And for people that sign up for our updates, we send a link to that thing every week so they don't have to look for it. They can just click on the link, and it'll take you straight to it.
Yeah, amen. Well, I have to ask for the people, you know, your website's called toolong.com. Why toolong.com?
Well, as I started researching these things, I found out that everything opposed to the true worship of the God of the Bible was, you know, generally based on sun worship. And so I wrote a book entitled Too Long in the Sun. And so that's where the toolong.com came from. But the yellow book you were talking about before is entitled Too Long in the Sun. And basically I trace pagan sun worship from the time of the Chaldeans through the Assyrians, the Babylonians, the Medo-Persians, the Greeks, the Romans, and right on through present day. And what I find is that aspects of sun worship were combined with the true worship of the Creator. It kind of got snuck in on us, and is still with us today, and most people don't realize it. The churches are full of good people that don't realize that many of the things that are practiced in the churches can be traced right back to pagan sun worship. They never had anything to do with Yeshua, Jesus. And, you know, the scripture says that the Gentiles will come from the ends of the earth and shall say, surely our fathers have inherited lies, vanity, and things wherein there is no profit. And, you know, I'm here to tell you that I was one of them. You know, when I found out some of the things that I've learned, I was shocked and surprised. And I wanted to find out not only what had happened, but how in the world it could have taken place. And the bottom line is that we have an adversary that wants to destroy us. And he knows that sin is the transgression of our Creator's commandments. And so, you know, the first four commandments tell us who our Creator is and how he wants us to worship him. And when we combine these pagan things with his true worship, the scriptures, you know, call it an abomination. And, you know, I didn't know it. The scripture says, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. And so I didn't know that for most of my life. But when I started checking these things out and finding out these things, you know, I had to make some changes and do what's right.
Yeah, amen. And let me tell you what, I don't know how many years ago it's been now since I first came across a copy of the Yellow Book, as we'll call it. I love that Yellow Book, and I love to give out that Yellow Book. That it's just dynamite, because you give such evidence that's undeniable in it, and, you know, it gives us a person a real good starting place to go. And, folks, that book's still available, of course, right?
Well, that's right. It's Too Long in the Sun. It's on my website, toolong.com. And, of course, the latest book is called Time is the Ally of Deceit. And basically what I found is that over time, things can really get messed up. And the new book, Time is the Ally of Deceit, is a kind of a companion to the other book. And there's a lot of documentation in that book. And then I produce videos to go along with each chapter of the book. So it's all tracing history and showing us not only what's happened, but how in the world it took place. And once again, we have an adversary, Satan, that wants to destroy us. And he's the father of lies, the father of confusion, and he's done an excellent job. And we don't have a chance against him except by the power of the Holy Spirit.
Yes, amen. I wholeheartedly agree. And I really, in the DVD set and the book that you just spoke of, that's dynamite. I used it at the Mission Church, you know, and you know, showing one segment at a time. And it's just, it really, you know, the way you put everything and back it up with evidence, it really shows how we got to where we're at. But, you know, so let's give one example. I watched that one little Just the Facts video. I thought maybe we could talk about that, let you explain that one and kind of give them an example. The video was called The Slain of the Lord Will Be Many, and it talked about clean and unclean. That was a great approach.
Well, that's right, and that's something that, you know, I was not aware of for most of my life. As you mentioned, it's the first program we do archaeological research, and we work on a site over in eastern Turkey that many people would believe to be the remains of Noah's Ark. And so in my studies about Noah's Ark, I found out that Noah was aware of clean and unclean animals a long time before anybody ever heard of Jewish people. He took 7 pairs of clean animals on the ark and 2 pairs of unclean animals. And so there you find clean and unclean a long time before Jewish people came on the scene. So now people say, well, you know, all that was nailed to the cross. You know, you can eat whatever you want to. But what I found was that those animals that the Bible describes as unclean were not intended to be eaten. They're scavengers. And, you know, of course, if you get sick and go to the doctor, some of those things are the first thing they tell you to stop eating, you know. And
yeah.
The Bible told us that a long time ago.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, you said nailed to the cross. So many people use that, oh, that's nailed to the cross. What does that expression really mean, Richard?
Well, what was nailed to the cross were the commandments of men that made the commandments of God impossible to keep. It talks about the, you know, doctrines of men, commandments of men. And basically what had happened is that the Jewish leaders at that time had made up their own rules and regulations regarding the commandments that made them impossible to keep. And that's the reason that Yeshua, Jesus, called them vipers and snakes and said they were of their father, the devil. And he says, you teaching for doctrines and commandments of men. He said, you know, the scribes and Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. He said, whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do, but don't do as they do. For they bind grievous burdens too heavy to be borne and won't lift it with one of their fingers. So what they had done, they had made up their own man-made rules and regulations that they call today the Oral Torah, that actually pervert the commandments of God. And that causes a lot of Christians, non-Jewish people, to say, well, you know, Yeshua, Jesus, came against those things. But he wasn't coming against the Ten Commandments. He was coming against what man had done to those commandments. And that's a real important thing for people to understand.
Well, about the early church, clearly, for the people, I know the answer to this, of course. But so the earliest church that, well, you know, that, let's talk about the Acts church. Were there a lot of Jews in it? Was all the Jews bad? Some people think that all Jews were bad, that all of a sudden it was just all Gentiles. What say you?
No, that's not right. The first church members, the first members of the church, if you want to, you know, if that's what we're going to call the assembly, were Jewish people. It talks about thousands and thousands of them. It was only later that the Gentiles were grafted into the church. So the first church members were Jewish people that kept the commandments of God and had the faith of Jesus, Yeshua. And so, once again, a lot of people think that that the Jews and Gentiles now are two separate entities. You know, the New Testament calls believers the Israel of God. And it goes on to describe them as they that keep the commandments of God and have the faith of Jesus. So the first century believers thought you were supposed to keep those Ten Commandments. And the reason I keep talking about Ten Commandments is because that is the covenant. At the first of the program, you talked about the Ark of the Covenant. The covenant was the Ten Commandments. The book of the law of Moses was written by Moses. It was, you know, God told him he wrote it in a book. It was told to Moses and Aaron. They told it to the people. And then it was placed outside the Ark of the Covenant. The covenant, the Ten Commandments, were placed inside the Ark of the Covenant. The Ten Commandments are the covenant. So people say, well, there's been changes, you know, that a lot of those commandments have, you know, we don't have to keep those things, animal sacrifice and such as that. And that's true. But that was a part of the Levitical laws. We have a new high priest after the order of Melchizedek, not after the order of Aaron. And the New Testament says, and of necessity, a change also in the law. So we don't have to make animal sacrifices. Yeshua was the sacrifice that was slain once for all. But that doesn't mean we can break the commandments that were written in stone. Those things will never change until heaven and earth pass away.
You know, it seems so obvious listening to you say it. Well, the Ark of the Covenant is called the Ark of the Covenant, and they put the Ten Commandments in the Ark of the Covenant. So, therefore, what's in the Ark of the Covenant? The Covenant. That is just like 1, 2, 3, 4. I mean, you know, it's so simple. People just don't get it, though.
It's just, I mean, you just can't get around. The word Ark means container or box.
Yeah.
You know, so Noah's Ark was a container for that Noah and the animals. The Ark of the Covenant is a container for the covenant. The only thing that was in the Ark of the Covenant when it was in the temple in Jerusalem was the Ten Commandments.
Yeah, amen.
At one point it had the pot of manna and Aaron's rod, But the scriptures plainly says that the only thing that was left in there when it was placed in the temple was the covenant, the Ten Commandments. And those Amen. Things were written in stone, meaning that they will never change.
Well, you know, and we used to, going back in time, I'm 61, but I do remember in my childhood that there was Ten Commandments were even inside of our schools, and we used to pray at school. Well, America's kit got out, but they kicked out those Ten Commandments, and, you know, it seems to me anyway, God's moral law, and it's not been passed down to our children. These things aren't implanted in our children, so now... do you think the way that some of these America is acting is because they don't have that moral code in them?
Back to you. Well, I really do. Just look at that. Prayer's taken out of the schools. The Ten Commandments are taken out of the schools and the public buildings, and people wonder what's happening. Folks going around killing each other and all kind of terrible things going on, and nobody seems to figure out what's happened. And you know, like you said, those Ten Commandments are God's moral law. And, you know, morality is going down the drain if you just look around.
Yeah. Doesn't look like there is much in the way of morals. I know in the coastal cities like the East and West Coast, and it's worse than here. But nowadays, you can't even – I used to like to watch the, you know, the Academy Awards or something. But you can't, because you have all of the starlets practically naked, you know. And, I mean, where's the morality? And you have all across the nation women trying to say, we should be able to go around without shirts or whatever, and naked people. No morals. I don't know what this is coming to. Richard, why don't your website, and then tell them where they can find the Wyatt website, and then we'll take a break and come back and talk.
Okay, toolong.com, TOOLONG.com, and then WyattMuseum.com, WyattMuseum.com.
Folks, you need to go over and check it out, and check out his books and things, and there's another DVD that he's got over there that's called Half God Said, and it's a real good DVD, and it's a real good one to share people to kind of know what the concept of what we're really talking about. It'll get you there, and it'll get you there easily. But and also, Wyatt Archaeology, you need to go over there and check that out. There's some pretty fantastic, true things over there, and you should check it out. And we'll be back in 3 minutes.
Dan will be right back.
This is Pastor Dan Catlin, and you're listening to Messiah's Ranch Prophecy Hour on the American Voice Radio Network. Well, folks, remember to pray tonight about a donation for our work with the homeless and poor from our mission church in Wichita, Kansas. It's summertime now, and their children are out of school, and people are coming in from all over looking for clothes for children and looking for Band-Aids and first aid for bug bites and all the things that happen in summertime. People that are poor, but they're really trying to keep a roof over their family's head, and, you know, they're just not able to do it because all this part-time work that they're having to do because of Obamacare or other reasons, but it's the economy. And so we help those people. We're situated in the very worst parts of town, and, you know, it does bring you down sometimes because people just, you know, it's just not the natural thing. Most people don't want to donate to a homeless and poor shelter, you know, and they just... It's hard to get donations, let alone that we're Messianic. And if you ask somebody in Kansas, hey, you know, what's Messianic or what's Hebrew roots, most of them, because I try it all the time just to see test things, And they scratch their heads. They have no idea. So we're unusual to different people, you know. So pray about it. Pray about supporting Wichita Mission Church. And Tuesday, I was really worn down by not having the things we need for the people. You know, we sat down at the gas station, a Quick Trip, and we were putting gas in my son's truck as my wheel bearings were out of my truck. And so we've been driving his so my 15-year-old can get a, you know, you have to have so many hours of driving in order to get your driver's license. So allowing him to drive, riding in his truck. Anyway, Elijah, my son, said somebody was yelling at me. And so, well, this is normal, as it seems like everywhere I go in Wichita, somebody yells at me, hey, Pastor Dan. Sometimes it's for help. Sometimes it's to say hi. Sometimes it's just to pass the time of day. But sometimes it goes like this, fellow. I got over to the car, and he said, I just wanted you to know that you're the main inspiration for the street ministry that I do. You know, I haven't seen this man for a long time, and I asked how he was doing, and I got a confirmation as to the street ministry is now done. I never would have thought this man could be who he is, but now with Yeshua, well, of course, in Mark 9:23, it says, Yeshua said unto them, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believes. Well, this black man, this black gentleman, in a minute or two, lifted me up so far because he told me I was the inspiration, you know, and he was doing street ministry himself, and, you know, so it was just a wonderful thing. Over the years, folks, we're in our 17th year. We've helped thousands upon thousands of people over the years. I don't care. Some of it's first aid. Some of it's miracle prayers. Some of them is leading them to Yeshua. There's just so many different things, food, clothing. Just, I can't even tell you everything we did. And we've all did that by not selling anything. We don't sell anything at all. People come looking for first aid, Bibles, over-the-counter medication, this, and miracle prayers, the gospel, and this. We're able to do it by you people that listen to us on radio and make donations. No, we're not getting rich by any means, and that's irrelevant because we spend down to what the people need. You know, like next week, my wife's thinking about, well, she pointed out to me some money needs to come in because the electric bill over there has got to be paid. Well, it's hot. Everybody's been coming in. The electric bill's up, so it just has to be paid. So pray about supporting the Wichita Mission Church. You know, we are responsible to care one for another, as we are our brother's keepers. All donations, no matter what size, helps. And the Father notices all donations that come from where? Your heart. You can donate online or mail a check or money order, and you can find all this information at prophecyhour.com. That's prophecyhour.com. Or if you need to, you can call me at 620-878-4682. 620-878-4682. And we're now back with Richard Reeves, unless he's left to go do some archaeology work. Are you there, Richard?
Yeah, I'm still here. Yes, sir.
Okay, well, we're going to kind of shift gears, I guess, and let's talk about some of the work that you do, the archaeology things. And I do got a question I've been dying to ask you for months. There's a fellow by the name of Ken Klein, and he put out a DVD, and it's called The Temple, The Lost Temple of the Jews. And he makes the claim that the Temple Mount isn't the Temple Mount, that it's down at the City of David. And there's other people pointing down there. Is there any validity to that? Is the Temple Mount the Temple Mount? You got any thoughts on it? It's okay if you don't.
Well, yeah, I do have some thoughts on it. And, you know, as you know, I base what I believe on Scripture. And if you remember when King David brought the Ark of the Covenant to Jerusalem, he placed it in a tabernacle or a tent in the City of David. You remember that when he,
right,
when,
sure,
when he came in? Well, when the temple was built, it plainly says that he brought the Ark of the Covenant up out of the City of David and put it in the temple.
Oh, he brought it up. Out
of the City of David and put it in the temple.
So, go ahead.
And then, if you remember, David, you know, built himself a house, and he brought his wife up out of the City of David to her new house.
Right, right.
Okay, so there's two scriptures that plainly separate that part of Jerusalem from the City of David. But the clincher to me, you know, I believe what the Bible says, and it plainly states that he brought the Ark of the Covenant up out of the city of David and put it in the temple.
Well, amen. Those are simple scriptures, and it sheds a lot of light. Absolutely. Well, over the years, you know, I could just put my finger and point to so many different things. Do you have anything that you're working on recently now, or what are you doing?
Not really right now. What I do, I pray if God wants something done, nothing will stop it. If he doesn't want anything done, nothing will cause it to happen. And right now, the truth is, we're just trying to share the information with people. I really don't know what to do. I don't know what needs to be done right now. And so, you know, when you do everything you can do, you have to wait until he gives us a new assignment. But right now, what we're doing is just trying to share the information. So there's no new excavations or anything. The latest excavations were in Jerusalem. As you know, we were excavating there. And first century Jerusalem is about 30 feet underground. The walls you see today are the walls that the Ottoman Turks built. Suleiman built those walls. But the real first century Jerusalem up towards the north is 25 or 30 feet underground. And we've done extensive excavation up there in that area. We found, we dug down to bedrock to first century Jerusalem. We found buildings down there. We found artifacts dating all the way back to the time of King Solomon. We found an additional cistern down there with a whole 12,000 gallons of water. But if you go to Jerusalem today and you see the Damascus Gate, that gate was built by the Turks, the Ottoman Turks, Suleiman. But the real thing's underground. There's another little gate up there beside the Damascus Gate over to the, if you're looking at it, down to the left, kind of almost underground there, and that's the real Damascus Gate. That would have been the gate that Yeshua would have walked out on the way to be crucified outside the city walls. The Via Dolorosa leads to the Church of the Church of the Holy Sepulchre, which was actually a temple of Aphrodite, and I document that in my books and things.
Absolutely. Let's go with this. You know, there's a lot of people now talking about the Mount Sinai, and every one of them acts like, you know, well, they don't say anything about anybody previous. What about the real Mount Sinai site? Can you tell us about that and what information you have on it?
Well, Galatians chapter 4 says that Mount Sinai is in Arabia. The traditional site was picked out by Helena, Constantine's mother, and it's in what's now known as the Sinai Peninsula. But she picked that out and said that was Mount Sinai, and you just didn't argue with Constantine's mama. That wasn't good for your health. But the Galatians chapter 4 tells you where to look for it. It says it's in Arabia. And when Ron Wyatt found out that the Red Sea crossing took place on the Gulf of Aqaba, he went on over into present-day Saudi Arabia and located the real Mount Sinai. Everything the Bible describes is right there. In detail, the rock at Horeb where Moses smote the rock to bring the water out, the unhewn altars with petroglyphs of Hathor and Apis, the cow and bull gods of Egypt is where they worship the golden calf. The whole top of the mountains burned and melted all over the top. The scripture says that our God is a consuming fire, and that when his presence came down on that top of the mountain, it was burning and smoking, and the whole top of the mountain just melted up there. And so that mountain is still right there, just where the Bible tells you to look for it.
Yeah, amen. Well, so so Ron found that? I mean, you know, that's the point I guess I'm getting at is Ron, that's the first place or first person I ever known of that came across it. So many others talk about it like they discovered it. I mean,
well, they don't give Ron a whole lot of credit, but yes, he's the one that went over there and found that. He was when he did that, he was put in prison over there for 78 days, and he finally convinced them of what it was. And at that time, they took him back out there in a helicopter. He showed them what it was, and they built a 12-foot-tall chain link fence around the bottom of the whole mountain and put security guards out there. And then other people got hold of Ron's information later. And went back over there, and you know they've you know, written books and videos and things like that.
Right.
And I get complaints all the time because they don't give Ron the credit for it. And but he is the one that figured it out.
Yeah, amen. And so what about the Red Sea crossing then? So that leads us to the Red Sea crossing.
Well, the Red Sea splits off up at the top up there. You got the Gulf of Suez and the Gulf of Aqaba. And we know they crossed the Gulf of Aqaba. The scriptures talks about the fact that King Solomon had a navy of ships at Etzion Geber on the Yamsu for the Red Sea near Eilat, or present-day Eilat. And, of course, if you look at a map, the Gulf of Aqaba ends up right there at Eilat. And so they crossed the Gulf of Aqaba, not the Gulf of Suez. And there's a natural land bridge across there, the sand washing out of those canyons. There's a canyon there known as Wadi Watir. And the sand washing out of those canyons on both sides has filled it in right there. And the scripture says that God prepared a way in the deep. And that's exactly what he did. On both sides of that crossing site, it's about 6,000 feet deep. But right there, it's about 1,000 feet deep with a gradual slope all the way across on a 10 or 12 miles across right there.
Well, I know Turkey's a crazy place right now, but is anybody or do they still claim? Originally, at the site of Noah's Ark, which Ron has found and you worked on it over there, they built a reception area or something. Do they still lay claim that it's Noah's Ark? I mean, is it, you know, what do you think?
Well, they built a building there. It's kind of a shell of a building, kind of a place. And it's about a half a mile from Iran and about 11 miles from Russia. So it's in far, far eastern Turkey. And I have worked over there with Ron. We did what's known as a mini excavation, where we cleaned one side so you can see what appeared to be rib timbers coming down. And then shortly after that, as you know, we were taken hostage over there and ended up climbing mountains at the end of a gun for about a month. And since then, I hadn't been able to get the permits we need. We do three-dimensional subsurface radar now, and I was over there a few years ago, met with the highest levels in the government. They promised me the permits, and then 2 weeks later, the whole government changed, so we were right back to square one. And so, you know, right now, there's a lot of things going on in Turkey, and it's just not a, it's not something that we're able to accomplish right now. And remember what I told you a few minutes ago, I pray that if God wants something done, nothing will stop it. And if he doesn't want it done, nothing will cause it to happen. And so all we can do is make our best efforts and just do what he wants.
Yeah, amen. I agree wholly. And that's the way I look at our ministry and our life. You know, that's the way I live my life. It, a lot of times the Father has called us and our ministry out to do special things for him. And then we go back to doing what we do normally. And but yeah, I agree. There's lots of periods of times I feel like I'm just waiting, but we do have to do that. So many people do things of themselves. Doesn't that get them in trouble when they don't wait on the Lord?
Well, it sure can. it sure gets you in trouble.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Anyway, so okay, well, we covered that. Let's go back to the commandments. We were talking about the commandments before breaking, about them being, you know, really the moral law and everything being taken away, people not teaching it to their children. You know, what is it that we could do to try to change this? You know, what do you have on your mind about that?
Well, I'm all for putting the Ten Commandments back in the public buildings, and not only that, putting them in our churches. You can't find them in the churches. And I'll give you an example. You know, I was doing a kind of a call in. It was a church school, and they wanted me to call in and answer questions, and you know, they were studying the commandments and things like that, you know. And so I called into the school, and I did two or three different classes. It was kind of I was teaching the class over the telephone, and
right.
So. When we got through talking, it was like maybe 30 students in each class. And my question was now that we've talked, I said, now get out your pen and paper. I got a test for you. And so the teachers, you know, you could hear him. He told everybody to get their, you know, we got a test going here.
All right.
So my question was, the test question was, list the Ten Commandments in any order. And I think it was like only two people out of 30 that could list all Ten Commandments in any order.
Wow.
I think it was two in one class and three in the other.
Yeah, absolutely. That's incredible.
That's what's going on.
I've taught my children from youth. I've taught them the Ten Commandments and to memorize the Ten Commandments.
Right.
And, you know, when they messed up as they were growing up, I would point out what commandment that they had messed up on, you know. And I sure use that honor thy father and mother a lot.
That's right.
Actually, that one covered everything.
Well, now you think about it, a lot of children do not honor their father and mother anymore. And, of course, Scripture talks about in the last days that's what will happen. And that's a great example right there.
Yeah, absolutely. Excuse me, absolutely. Yeah, we need them to be put back in. I don't know that will ever happen in America. Again, we can pray for it to happen, but I just don't. And, you know, to me, a revival would really have to come from God and reinstating all those things, because too much is, well, this is what I'm trying to say, too much has been let out. You know what I'm saying, Richard? You know, that's not biblical. You know, the place is starting to look like Sodom and Gomorrah. And, you know, like we mentioned, the morality and you know, women dressing with practically no clothes and all the garbage on TV and all the abortions. Could you think that could be put back in, so to speak, the America bluff? Or wouldn't it have to?
Well, it looks bad, I'll have to tell you that. And, the Scripture says that evil men will wax worse and worse. And, but we do know that God can get folks' attention. He can turn things around if he wants to. We just need to hope and pray that he's not giving up on us. That's what I hope and pray for, that he's not giving up. And he will have a faithful remnant. And I think that, in general, you know, when the society has gone downhill, that we need to come out from among them and be separate so that we will be a part of that faithful remnant. It says when he comes back, will he find faith on the earth? And the answer is yes. He's going to have some faith. He's going to have somebody, some faithful people on the earth because he has to. And so the answer to that question is yes, he will have some faithful people. But, the Scriptures also tell us that few there be that find it. So I would just encourage people to go back and take another look at those commandments. They tell us exactly who our Creator is and how he wants us to worship him. And they distinguish him from other gods. We hear about all these other gods and, people worshiping other gods and doing all kind of bad things in the name of God. Well, those Ten Commandments tell us exactly who the God of the Bible is and how he wants us to worship him.
Yeah, absolutely. This Hath God Said DVD, you can talk a little bit about that, what's in it and it contains, because, you know, for a lot of people just starting out, that's a really good one to point to the things that you've been talking about tonight.
Well, my latest book is called Time is the Ally of Deceit. Over time, things have gotten messed up. And I produced a DVD for each chapter of the book. That makes about 6 hours of video. I sell that book for $18. I sell the book and the videos for $100. But I produced a 52-minute summary of that called Hath God Said. In other words, you don't have to buy the expensive set of videos to find out this information. It's called Hath God Said, and it's a 52-minute summary of the information contained in that 6 hours of video. I can't document it in 52 minutes, so I can't give you all the references and where you can look it up, but I can tell the story pretty good. And it's being used all over the world, and people are finding out that, once again, surely our fathers have inherited lies, vanity, and things wherein there's no profit. and I was one of them. And so the way I try to present things is, you know, let me tell you what I've learned. And, you know, that's kind of my approach to it. You know, a lot of people want to tell you how smart they are. Well, what I want to do is tell you how dumb I was and look at what I've learned. And so that's kind of the way I approach it.
Amen. We used the, you gave us some paper versions of Half God Said, and we give them out at the Mission Church, which
that's
I'm
right.
about out of them, but people picked them up and they asked me about them all the time. Those are really, really, you know, the paper things are good. So, and the DVD is great also. Folks, check out all these things. Go over to toolong.com. Look at my favorite book, which is the Yellow Book, and I'm probably just attached to it because it's the Yellow Book. But the new book, I guess I am, Richard. I you know, I really love that book. The other one is great, and I love the DVD set. The DVD set, D set is dynamite. Like I said, we use it as a big teaching tool in the Mission Church, and so that's a real big thing.
A lot of people know the. No, Too Long in the Sun. They're familiar with that book. So all over the world, they know about that book.
Well, it really proves the point. You know, like we got a couple of minutes left. Tell us about a statue that used to be something else and then was changed to something else, and that might kind of shock the people.
Well, I'm trying to think of which one you're talking about.
Well, there's lots of them, you know, whether Mary and her child, or maybe wasn't a statue of Jupiter that was Yeshua was. They put his name on it.
Yeah, they did a lot of that stuff. You know, the pagan gods and goddesses were renamed, and you can trace them back to. I mean, you can trace them all back, and I do that in the book. So, you know, there was a statue in just like the statue of who they say is Peter in the Vatican. You can trace that back, and it is not Peter. You know, it's got the sun rays coming out of his head, and you know, and so I document a lot of those things in the book.
Yeah, amen. So, folks, it looks like you're going to have to get the book. Go to toolong.com and pick it up. Richard, hey, I really appreciate you being on with me. And just to, before we go away, give the name of your son's great ministry, man. He does such great work.
All right, it's David Reeves Ministries, and it's spelled R-I-V-E-S, David Reeves Ministries. And he talked about creation. I think people will really enjoy his website, David, D-A-V-I-D-R-I-V-E-S. ESMinistries.com.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what, folks, I've called Richard's house before and got his son on the phone. I thought I was talking to Richard, but he talks just like it. Anyway, thanks for being on with me. You be blessed, and we'll talk again. Bye-bye, Richard.
Thank you, sir.
All right. Folks, that was Richard Reeves, toolong.com. Get the toolong.com book, the Too Long in the Sun, and you'll see. You really should get that book. I mean, the other of he's talking about $100 for the videos. That book, I don't know how much it is. It's probably under $20. But it's really a good book because he documents it with pictures and everything else, the things that we're talking about. And you will be shocked, I guarantee it. Well, some of you might not change out this radio program that you're listening to. We've had a lot of different people on. But anyway, go check it out. Well, folks, I really want you to lift the Mission Church up in prayer tonight and see what's on your heart. See if you can make a donation to us because it's summertime, and, man, it's just really struggling hot out there, and people are pouring in, and the electric bill's up and everything, and we just need your help. So pray about it. If the Father has ever, you've ever felt an unction to donate to our ministry, please do so tonight. Pray about it. You can do it online, or you can mail a check or money order. But pray about it first, and make sure that you lift this country up in prayer and pray that the Father would give us a season of joy. Anyway, we must remember there is only one God. He is your Father. He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His Son is Yeshua HaMashiach. He gave his life for our repented sins.
he rose after 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. Remember, always, always, always be a blessing to others. Excuse me. Remember, always to be a blessing to others. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. That's like praying for Yeshua's return. There's our wonderful train. Anyway, Lord our God, Father, King, Universe, ask in Yeshua HaMashiach's name that, Father, you bless the people and keep them, and that your face shines upon them, and is that you're gracious to them, and that you give these people that are listening peace like no one or nobody else can. Until next Thursday, this is Pastor Dan saying goodbye and shalom.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time for Messiah's Branch.